Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Permits impeding constitutional rights are wrong. It is wrong for the government to take a right away from you and sell it back in the form of a permit. Concealed carry permits are not free. So laws requiring a concealed carry to carry a weapon only target a certain demographic of people, specifically lower income persons.
Yeah, people who look at the cost of a concealed carry permit and the process of getting one as onerous. This is Natalie Kidd talking at the Milton City Council meeting on Tuesday night about a Second Amendment support resolution that they were considering. She's with the, Santa Rosa County Libertarians and talking about personal experience she had with the problem of having to wait for a concealed carry permit.
About a year and a half ago, I was threatened by someone I know. They stated very directly in public that they would put a bullet in my head the next time they saw me.
Man.
This person cannot legally carry a firearm, although they do most of the time.
Because we know that the laws are for the good people, right? Bad people don't follow the laws.
Once I did the appointment and went there, I then had to wait a few weeks for it to be approved and arrived in the mail. All that time, I was out and about terrified. I could not legally protect myself, and I didn't know when I was going to run into him again.
Yeah, you put people in a horrible choice of whether they are going to protect themselves and break the law by concealed carrying without a permit, or whether they're going to just be vulnerable, right? In addition to the waiting period, and what if she'd been 18 or 19 when you're not allowed to buy a pistol anyway, right? What if? Well, this is the problem.
The requirement of a concealed carry, it only delays law-abiding citizens from being able to protect themselves. The Libertarian Party of Santa Rosa County strongly supports the ability to conceal carry without a permit.
So you say, what does concealed carry have to do with Santa Rosa County, given that Santa Rosa County is under the preemption orders from the state of Florida? The state of Florida is going to occupy the entire space of firearm regulation, ammunition regulation. Well, you can still express support for things. You can still encourage, right? You can still declare. So Mayor Heather Lindsay reads the resolution.
So the full text of the resolution is here, and it's on the screen now. We encourage the Florida legislature to eliminate the requirement for a citizen to possess a concealed weapon permit to be able to lawfully carry a concealed weapon or firearm in the state of Florida. We support the right of citizens 18 years of age or older, not otherwise prohibited by law, to purchase and possess a firearm on the same day the firearm is purchased after passing the required FDLE background check. And that's the extent of the resolution.
So key elements here, obviously they're not making policy. They're saying to the Florida legislature, we as a duly elected board representing the people of the city of Milton, we encourage you to get rid of the requirement for a permit before you can carry concealed, as long as you're lawfully able to otherwise carry a weapon in the state of Florida. Like, if you'd be eligible to get a CCP, they're basically saying you shouldn't have to get a CCP. And the point is to try to take it and make it easy for anybody to carry concealed. And some states do. There are several states that have concealed carry without permit, you know. Also, then, number two, we support the right of citizens 18 years of age or older, not otherwise prohibited by law, to purchase and possess a firearm on the same day, as in without a waiting period, that the firearm is purchased after passing the required FDLE background check. And again, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, not just 21 and up. I think the handgun restriction on 21-year-olds is a federal, which is unfortunate because that should also go. These rules are so stupid. Anyway, so this was the proposal. And then the question was, well, who supports it? Who is opposed? Al Rutan, just a guy, just a member of the citizenry that showed up to the meeting.
I don't want to be known as a city or county that's got the Wild Wild West. You know what I mean? And hopefully this council will not approve this.
Now, look, partner. This notion of the Wild Wild West. You should go to the West. You should go to the Wild Wild West of Oregon and Arizona and see what it's like. And you know what it's like? It's no big deal. And that's open carry. Actually, Arizona's kind of a weird one, or at least it was when I lived there. You could lawfully carry openly, but you had to have a permit to carry concealed. I know it's weird, but that was the rule. So, you know, what they're asking for is not open carry. What they're asking for is permitless concealed carry. So you wouldn't even know it's the Wild Wild West. It wouldn't be the Wild Wild West, but you wouldn't even know it because people are carrying concealed. So they go through and they ask the city council members, and most of them didn't have much comment other than, you know, we support this. I think one didn't have any comment at all. And then David Richardson, I think he's one of the new ones on the city council. Pardon me, I do not know all the players in the city of Milton as well as I should just yet. I'm still kind of getting to know them a little bit.
I have no qualms with the way this is written. As long as you are a law-abiding citizen and being able to protect yourself, I have to say that I support that. People may be angry with me after this day is over, but I support that.
So what was the vote?
All right. Are y'all ready to vote? Unanimously approved by all members present.
There you go. It was not everybody, because one person was there by remote call-in, and you're not allowed to vote if that's the case. So that's why she said that. Unanimous approval by everybody who was present. But yeah, so the city of Milton has passed that, and now they are essentially saying to the legislature, hey, we support permitless carry. We support 18 years of age, same-day acquisition of a firearm. Because again, the argument for a waiting period is people who are disturbed, but the argument against a waiting period is if you need a gun, you don't need it in 3 days, right? You know, and the way I have always looked at this, and it's kind of a weird thing that just doesn't get brought up more, but you know, the big value of a firearm is not for people like me. You know, I'm middle class white male. I'm fairly well protected by the institutions, generally speaking, and I'm a guy, okay? And, you know, a long time ago, I studied martial arts. I'm moderately capable of defending myself. I'm not really the one who needs it. You know who needs it? Minorities, for safety in their home, particularly. Women, who are more vulnerable to domestic and other kinds of abuse and being mugged or raped in the street. You know, I mean, that's the vulnerable. Okay, these are the people who are the most advantaged by having the ability to carry concealed. So how it gets made into this thing, or how it doesn't ever become a thing that is protecting the very constituents that the people who oppose guns generally say they claim to support, it's a little bit baffling to me. But anyway, City of Milton passed it, so good for them.
Well, today's special because we are able to name our newest canine after Doug Heist. The canine will be named Heist, as you can see in one of our cruiser cars. It's got the letters H-E-I-S-T, and that's for Doug Heist, who lost his life. But we were able to introduce Heist to the Heist family, and it was very nice.
Yesterday, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office doing their annual memorial to fallen officers, including, as you heard there, the dedication of the brand new canine in honor of former Escambia Sheriff's deputy, I think deputy, pardon me for not knowing his rank, Heist.
We, our honor guard escorted the family members to the memorial to place a rose, and after that, we went to our entire canine unit, which was out there to honor the Heist family, and then we released Heist to come and meet the family. So it was just a great event for us. It was certainly great for them to actually be able to meet the dog that will carry on the legacy of Doug Heist.
Yeah, that really is very, very cool.
And the name Heist, Heist will continue to serve Escambia County just like Doug Heist did. Now our newest canine, Heist, will do the same thing. So it was just very kind of tearful. A little emotional, and it's certainly an honor, and we are very glad to do that.
And they have done this differently this year because of COVID. Obviously, it's normally a ceremony inside, and then they go outside for the laying of the roses at the memorial with the families coming up, and it's very moving. Frankly, it's very, very honoring tribute that they do every year, and this year, of course, doing it very differently because of COVID. And I did check, yeah, Deputy Sheriff Floyd Douglas Heist, so indeed a ranked officer, obviously. 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Oil again pumping through the Colonial Pipeline and gasoline as well. It was shut lockdown over a cyber attack. Colonial announcing it had restarted operations yesterday afternoon on that pipeline that serves much of the south and east coast. Israel and Palestinians on the brink of full-scale war. President Biden says he has spoken to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the escalating violence, telling reporters yesterday Israel has the right to defend itself. And if you're in the market for a new home, like the desert sort of lifestyle,
fly me to the moon.
Secluded mountaintop villa in Palm Desert, once owned by Frank Sinatra, on the market. A little more than $4 million.
Okay.
9 bedrooms, 14 bathrooms, pool house, helipad. Sinatra helped design it. Was built in 1970. Has been restored and renovated since then. But $4 million seems a little low, doesn't it?
Actually, no, I don't. For a California house?
Yeah.
Also, I don't think you're saying it right.
What's that?
That's a helipad, yo.
A helipad.
Davis. I love Davis's reaction. He's just so embarrassed of his dad over here. Thank you.
A little late
you.
Hit there.
That's right. That's me.
I will always take a house that has 14 bathrooms.
Would you really, though? I mean, because you got to clean them.
You only have to walk 5 feet.
You got to clean them.
Sometimes you just need the nearest bathroom.
9 bedrooms is a lot.
Yes, it is.
All right, Mari, thanks so much for the update. 625 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Traffic on the fives of Davis Allen.
In front gate of NES Pensacola so far, no delays report. So good news there. Gulf Beach Highway as well as Blue Angel Parkway all checking in clear. Also, 9 Mile Road, I-10, I-110, and Avalon and Garcon all reporting no delays. This report, it is brought to you by Central Credit Union. Enjoy your summer with great low rates on motorcycles, ATVs, or choose a versatile summer season loan at Central Credit Union. You can visit ccufl.org for more information. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, Frontier Motors sells these good condition, low mileage, late model, 1-, 2-, 3-year-old cars, right? That's the idea. And they sell about 200 of them every month, right? 400 are on the lot, and they sell about half. So there's always new stuff coming in. And obviously, it's a great place to buy used cars. But what you might not think of is if you're going to sell 200 cars and trucks a month, then you've got to buy 200 cars and trucks a month. So they are always buying good quality cars and trucks. So if you have one and you've been thinking about selling it yourself, well, you can. I mean, obviously, you can sell it yourself. Or consider the ease of going down to Frontier Motors and saying, you'll sell this for me? Oh, sure. Well, you just want to buy it from me? I mean, sure, yeah. But you want to sell it for me? Whatever you want, man. We need the inventory. We're glad to help, and they'll take care of it for you. No commission fees, whatever. It's simple. That's the whole idea. They just want to be a service. And, of course, they need the cars because a lot of people go there to buy used cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
We now return to the thrilling conclusion of Gen Z Hospital.
Bro, nobody's telling us anything. Is Bestie gonna be okay?
Nurse, we demand to know how our Bestie is doing.
I'm sorry, bro. I told you I don't have that information yet.
Bruh, seriously?
I'm so pressed right now, bro.
Don't be pressed. The doctor will be in shortly, bro.
Yo! This doctor keeps leaving us on red. He's gonna catch hands on gang.
No. It's gonna be okay. Bestie cannot die like this.
Big facts. She's gonna make it, bro.
There's the doctor now.
It's not very well done, honestly. In the end, it's really kind of a flop of a sketch. But all of the catchphrases and buzzwords and for the gram and Elon Musk playing a doctor from Saturday Night Live. Here's what's interesting. People are angry about it being cultural appropriation. I kid you not. The gimmick of the sketch, right, is that the people speaking this way are using words that are synonymous with Gen Z culture, supposedly. But they are also phrases used by what they call African-American vernacular English, or Black English is what you might have heard it as before. And people are suggesting the sketch is racist and appropriating Black culture. Who wrote the sketch, Davis? Michael Che did. And he says, I don't even know what AAVE is. Oh, my God. Look, all satire is going to be cultural appropriation of some sort, right? Isn't that the point? Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's fascinating. So a Black guy writes a sketch, and he gets accused of cultural appropriation for unintentionally, inadvertently using Black phrases. The world's amazing.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Used car and truck prices in April surged by the most since record keeping began in 1953, boosted by pent-up demand among consumers, many of whom had more cash to spend thanks to government stimulus checks. Used car and truck prices rose 10% last month and were up 21% versus last April. The jump in used car and truck prices accounted for more than one-third of the consumer price index's 0.8% monthly increase. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says the electric car maker will no longer accept Bitcoin for vehicle purchases amid concerns regarding the environmental impact of cryptocurrency mining. The process of Bitcoin mining, or generating digital currency by using powerful computers to solve ultra-complex mathematical equations, consumes a huge amount of electricity. Musk, a longtime proponent of cryptocurrency, said the current mining process is too reliant on fossil fuels. Musk first announced Tesla would accept Bitcoin for vehicle purchases in March. That's Your Money Now.
So the Pensacola Shipyard is available for sale. And it is a very large price tag. We all understand that. And it is on the eastern side of Bio Chico, however, which is in the city. However, working waterfronts, you know, are a serious issue in the state of Florida. And the opportunity to potentially partner with the city and maybe pursue waterfront grants to just enhance that entire area and revitalize it is something that I think the staff would like to talk about.
So Janice Gilley, Escambia County Administrator, yesterday on the Coffee with the Commissioner with Jeff Bergosh, mentions the, hey, maybe we're going to buy the Pensacola Shipyard. The what now? Okay, I'm curious. Janice Gilley is on the line with us right now. She joins us every Thursday at this time. Administrator Gilley, see, I use your formal title. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Why do you want to buy the Pensacola Shipyard?
Well, I think it's mostly a conversation that the staff would like to just have with the city. You know, it's an opportunity to own all of that waterfront there. I believe there's 6 or 7 parcels in particular that make up the shipyard property. And, you know, sometimes these opportunities are before us and we can't really see the future. And what I'm hoping is that maybe we'll take an opportunity to give a real analysis. Because I remember when I was on the county commission, we preserved Tarquin Bayou. And that was one of the things that I'm probably most proud about during my time as a county commissioner.
I didn't know you were responsible for that. That place is a jewel.
Yeah, not by myself, of course. It was board action. But I was also then able to help whenever I got to the governor's office and, you know, through working with the legislature later, make sure that we did secure all the other properties that we needed to. But preserving that bayou was first and foremost because it was one of the last undeveloped bayous in the entire state of Florida. And so when you have that vision for a future, and, you know, Bayou Chico, we did find out that we got Pot 2 or Pot 3 money yesterday to continue the restoration of the sediment in that, you know, bayou, to continue to clean it up. I mean, you know, when you travel the country and you see other places like marinas in San Diego or San Francisco or, you know, even up the East Coast, right, New Hampshire, Rhode Island and places like that, you see what a working waterfront can do and how it can revitalize a community, or maybe even over in Jacksonville or Tampa. And, you know, it's a dream, but I just think the staff would like to have that conversation between the city and the county and see if there was any way to, if there's even any interest by either board to consider taking a look at it.
Now, so from my perspective, my first reaction was cool, because I've seen, like you say, some of these waterfronts and what can be done. But then as people pointed out, and I think fairly so, you know, don't we already have a community maritime park, and don't we already have a dream wish list for the Port of Pensacola that kind of is reminiscent of some of these things? And, you know, I know city versus county, but that's kind of the response was, we've kind of been trying this already, and should we be in the development business anyway? That was kind of the response that, you know, which I'm sure will come up in the conversation. So,
Yeah, that's fine, and I understand that, but it's also an opportunity not looked at as a completely an opportunity loss before it even, gets an opportunity for review.
So in EMS, news items, we've got, obviously, you know, the new fire chief's been hired, and I guess we've got a new EMS director as well, is that right?
We do. David Torsell's coming to us from Alachua, and he has an amazing record. He actually just went through the certification program for their community. And he's also, so he in Alachua is fire chief and EMS, EMS
Combined.
Director.
Okay.
So he has both sides of the house.
So does he, I mean, we have issues, right, in EMS right now. We've got the, a shortage shortage of teams, shortage of people. Obviously, we're trying to hire. And even you've now managed to, the idea is to go back in and open up new union negotiations to offer more money to incentivize people to go into that. And you're partnering with the schools, you know, all this stuff. It's all good direction kind of stuff. But we're having to hold calls with EMS. People are calling EMS because they want the TV turned off, or we've got this drug overdose problem. I mean, we're stressed in a variety of different ways. I assume he's aware of all of these challenges, right?
Oh, yes. And what was interesting is, so, you know, Alachua is a very similar sized community, and everything we threw at him in the interview and the other interviewees, but he in particular, he had already dealt with the same situations, or he was dealing with the same situations and had provided for resolutions.
Huh.
So I feel like, I mean, look, the manpower issue is something that is, quite frankly, a national issue in every level. You know, I speak about it every time we talk,
right,
about please come and join our team at the county. But that one would be one that is, you have to have a will, right?
Right.
You have to have people willing to come work. But I think absent that piece, I think he does have a solution for many of our other issues. And, you know, the other issue that we're dealing with that the hospitals are really working with us on is trying to resolve the issue of the transports from their freestanding ERs, like in Perdido or on 9 Mile and stuff like that.
Yep.
That also eats up a lot of capacity of transport, and so we want to try and get that issue resolved too.
Yeah, and I know you guys are working on that as well, and I know you're getting ready to put out a public awareness campaign to encourage people to not call 911 for non-emergencies, to not try to take up the resources that are desperately needed for the right people and, you know, waste it on the wrong. I have a, mm-hmm. this may be one of those, it's the kind of question I always encourage my students to ask, which is, when you just don't understand something, ask. Why does the county run paramedic services, EMS, instead of this being run by a private company? Just generally speaking, government is the last resort to run anything. Why does the county run this instead of it being something that's run by somebody in the private sector?
Well, that has been the choice of this county to take on that mission. And as you know, Santa Rosa County, Escambia County to the north of us, Alabama, and Baldwin County to the west of us, all three do have a private entity that runs them, runs their EMS. And then Volusia County to our east uses the same as us. They use public EMS. So it's a decision. It's a policy decision made by our policymakers to maintain that. And we do allow for those private entities to come in and get what we call a COPCN, which is a certificate of public need, to try and help out, you know, when we need mutual aid or things like that. It is an annually renewed certificate. And if the county had a contract with an outside outside company to provide our services, it would still be renewed, you know, need to be renewed annually unless we entered into like a multi-year contract. So, but currently I would say that our policymakers are, you know, very supportive of our emergency medical services personnel and the men and women that we have, you know, working with us.
Okay, well,
so
I mean,
it's just a policy decision.
Yeah, and I'm obviously optimistic that having a new chief in will help, you know, director will help take care of some of this stuff. And it was a question I had, and I didn't know if there was a particular reason why.
You've got to make these kind of decisions and try and provide, you know, better safety.
So it sounds like that's essentially just a matter of paint. So this would not be something that would take all that long to implement, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yes, I do not have a time frame on the implementation, but I can certainly get that for you guys.
Okay. All right. Well, please keep it don't make it 30. That's my only request. But obviously, and also,
you can bike 30 miles an hour.
Well, you know, I want to be able to drive it at 35, but I understand that nobody drives it at 35 right now, unfortunately. So, okay.
I know.
Do you you often have a question for me, Janice? Do you have a question for me this week?
I do. Have you seen the string of pearls over the sky in Escambia County?
The satellite stuff? No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so on Monday night, so where I live out in Molino, you know, you can see the sky really well.
Right.
And my nephew was outside, and he called us, and he said, "You got to come outside. There's something in the sky." And so we went outside, and it was literally like a train of jets or something, you know, flying. It looked like 100. And, I mean, we just watched it, and you could see it from one end of the horizon to the other.
It must be the Starlink satellites.
It is.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely. It was the Starlink satellites. And so if anyone gets a chance, it was about 9 o'clock at night, between 8:50 and 9 o'clock. It's pretty cool. I don't know I don't know when it'll come over again, because last night was too cloudy. But it was really a cool experience if
you
get to see it.
I'll tell you a story about that. I saw them for the first time, was it last year? Maybe even longer ago than that. And I was like, oh, my God, what is that? And then I looked up, and there's actually a website where you can track where they're going to be, and you can see next sighting is going to be such and such. But I went out looking every night all the time at the right times, and I couldn't see them. I think they've actually gone and tried to change the orientation so they're not as visible anymore. Some of them may still be the old design, but I went through a phase of, I'm so eager to see these, I'm so disenchanted that I can never see them anymore. So, no, it's really cool, though, if you get a chance to see them. I totally agree. That is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Janice Gilley, thank you so much for the time, as always. County Administrator for Escambia County. It's always a pleasure. The work is difficult, and I know it goes thankless a lot, so thank you.
But I just want to thank you, too, for staying on top of all these local public issues. I mean, your voice and telling all your listeners is so important, because we do want to make sure that this information gets out and these conversations are had about what's going on.
Wow.
So I can just speak for myself how much I appreciate what you do in terms of messaging for the county.
Oh, wow. That's really kind. Thank you, Janice. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week. 6:50 here on News Radio 92. Wow. All right. Thanks. 6:50 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. 55! National average for a gallon of gas, $3.02. Florida average, $2.89. Lee Vining, California, could always be worse at $5.39. And then again, it could be better in San Antonio. It's $2.09. In Navarro this morning, $2.99. East at the Walmart, $2.97. West at the Walmart, $2.93 in Midway at the Murphy, right opposite the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. In Milton this morning, $2.76 at the CEFCO, $2.92 at the Pea Ridge Walmart. Oh, that's a big price jump. Is that right at the CEFCO? Let me just check and make sure that's right. No, that's, yeah, sure enough. So $2.76 at the CEFCO, $2.99 in Pace, $2.92 at the last station in Pace. You head out over on the causeway. Getting over to Pensacola, $2.99 at the Raceway North of Davis, $2.86 at the 29 Murphy station in front of the Walmart there. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like 289 at the Murphy on Navy. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. In our headlines this morning, as soon as I can get them pulled up here, there we go. American Airlines canceling more flights today from New York to Tel Aviv. Delta and United did the same yesterday. Comes as violence between Israel and Palestinian militants has escalated to the worst since 2014. An NYPD officer recovering from gunshot wounds after being in a shootout with a suspected gang member. Officers spotted the person of interest in a separate shooting. That person started firing, hit the officer three times. The suspect arrested. The officer expected to recover. Ellen calling it quits, saying it's time to take a break. The announcement comes after a year of controversy, including a toxic workplace allegations. Ellen didn't say so in so many words about being canceled, but doesn't rule it out.
I mean, I really didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. I thought something was going on that because it was too orchestrated, it was too coordinated.
The Ellen Show will come to a close with next year's 19th season.
Yeah, and for somebody who had for so long occupied a really unique status in her you know, genre of everybody loved her, everybody thought she was wonderful and charming, and then a little bit of that veil gets pulled back. It's hard to recover from all that. Mark, thanks so much for the update. 6:55, Davis Allen time for a quick shot of sports.
The Pensacola Blue Wahoos were losers of three straight, but not four straight. They managed to win over the Birmingham Barons last night, 4-1 in that ballgame, helped with a few home runs, one of them by J.J. Bladé, top prospect. Hit the ball out of the stadium. So
nice.
Always love seeing that out of
Is that into the water off left field? Or did he go to right?
He's a left-handed hitter.
Oh, okay. So it could have been to right.
I mean, if it was right field, that's extremely
that's a big hit.
Impressive.
Oh, but I think I saw that one on Channel 3. Yeah, it was on the berm. To right field, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And, of course, that was the game I didn't call. Yesterday, NFL schedules were released. First game of the year will be the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Dallas Cowboys on September 9th. That is a Thursday. And, of course, all my friends are over here frantically picking which games they're going to go to for the Saints. And also, you see this, New York Yankees are kind of having a COVID issue. Seven of their members test positive for COVID. So they're going to be out for the time being. San Diego Padres are also having this issue.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I tell you the truth before it's true. Pace Boulevard. Will there be a road diet? Will it reduce incidents with pedestrians and bicyclists and whatnot?
I think there'll be a minor road diet. Won't reduce anything.
Yeah, I also, because I think unless you really change the vision of that road, like with the offsets, I mean, just it's, I don't know this is going to work, but I do think it's going to be implemented. Will the Florida legislature follow the recommendation of the city of Milton to go permitless carry?
No.
Yeah, also no. Although I wish they would. Will tiny home communities subdivisions be developed in Milton now that they've approved that ordinance as well?
Yes, they will.
I do think so, yes. And will the new EMS chief solve or at least improve some of the issues that we're seeing in Escambia County?
Improve.
Yeah, definitely improve. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I'll be optimistic because that's my nature. We'll be back in a minute.